שלום לכם, תודה שאתם איתנו.
Hello and thanks for being with us on our new life show with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. Hello everyone. Hello Yael. Hello. Today we'd like to go into the Passover Haggadah. We meet it once a week. We read it in every house in Israel, almost. Most of us don't know what it speaks about. I would like to understand somewhat a bit of it, so when we'll read it, we'll get some feelings, some ideas, something that will take us into a better place in life. Yael? First of all, when you say to understand something, I want to specify. To understand something, it means that a very, very thin slice, in the simplest manner, as much as I can say, without preparations and without nothing, that I have to now adapt myself to the listener, to the viewer. And you have to understand that something, it's not that it goes according to that we narrow it down to tell a bit of, but what I'm doing is I'm not telling things into their true depth. They're inside, there are the forces that are operating in nature and bring the people of Israel through the spiritual Egypt and the recognition of nature. We're talking on a very thin layer that we cut from the top, the thinnest layer. So we'll be clear that that means a bit of. I'll tell you what's going on in my family. We meet every year about 30 people. We have a lot of kids in our family. And we start reading the Haggadah, and no one understands nothing. And at the end of the Haggadah, each time we have a discussion, what are we going to do in order to understand the Haggadah next year? And we do different things, nothing helps every time. Here by chance I took an Haggadah, so what, there's an explanation here. We bought the Haggadah with explanation, we understand nothing. We'd be really happy at the end of this conversation to understand, like you said, a bit of what's happening beyond a very simplistic story that's going on and how is it relevant to our life today. People that come to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, Owen can say about that. And I, from at least the 30 years that I teach, I'll tell you that at least 5 to 7 first years that a person studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, he doesn't understand what it talks about in the Haggadah. Maybe after 10 years you can start talking to him about him and he starts hearing a bit. There's like this small hole in my ear that things start coming through. Before that, completely deaf. As it says, they have eyes and do not see, ears and do not hear. Impossible. A person has to sharpen several of his senses towards his nature in order to feel that I am now in exile. And if I will be in a different inner state, I will be in redemption. And this state that is pressuring me, this is Pharaoh, that now I'm getting pressure from this inner quality of mine, and that now it pulls me forward, this is called Moshe, until he starts a bit identifying within himself all of these heroes of the Haggadah, which isn't some kind of an external theater, but it's all happening inside a person. That takes time. We'll try to do it in a very light fashion. Somehow, I'll try. So the word, the name Haggadah, comes from the saying, "Igadet lebincha b'yom ahu," that you told your son on that day. And what should we tell our children on the Seder Eve. When we sit together at the Seder, this is our first question. I don't think that there is a difference between kids and grown-ups, first of all. It says, as you should tell your son and not to others, meaning anyone who doesn't know, and it's worthwhile for him to listen, he is as a son. That's how everyone is. So what's important for all of us to know? What does it mean, exile? What is the difference between it and redemption? And to our point, are we in exile? And are we needy of redemption? That's it. That's all we have. That's the Passover. That's it. So let's start with what is exile? Exile. It means that I, compared to redemption, am in the opposite state to it. Okay, so what is Geula, redemption then? Geula, redemption, is opposite to Galut, exile. So these are two extreme ends that in the meantime we can't acknowledge neither. So today we're in exile. When we talk about Egypt, there's plenty of food, life, you live like a king. Pharaoh treats you nicely. Everything is truly heaven. How come they start feeling in exile? 7 years of satiation. Why do they change into the 7 years of hunger? Because they start feeling that they are disconnected from the meaning of life. What am I living for? Today you can ask many people in the world that they too will tell you, I don't know what am I living for, and really it bitters my life so much that I don't want to live at all. I'm turning to terror, to different things, at least to have some beacon of light in life, that to know that I have some meaning in life, some ideal, some something, that I attack someone who stands in my way, then I feel the feeling of a fight. A fight is good. It's me and something against me. Otherwise, I'm like some kind of, I don't know, dead body. And this is what they started feeling. They started feeling that there's some question awakening in them. What are we living for? What is the meaning in life? What is the purpose in life? It's better to die than keep on living this way. I don't eat the meat, the garlic. As it says, they had plenty of everything. Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, they had everything in Egypt. It was like heaven from the whole world. And the Jews, they were the most respected, the richest, the most distinguished. What's missing? I have no meaning in life. Something in earth that awakens, yes, and ruins my feeling of life. And I start feeling that I'm in this life like in a golden cage I can't come out of. This is called enslavement. So much that I see that specifically this good life especially is what suffocates me and kills me. Because if life would not have been that good, I'd have a justification to run from it. But this way I have no justification to escape. My ego enjoys being in Egypt, but along with it awakens the question, what are you living for? Who are you? You're a beast, not a man. And this is what happens in our times. What does it mean, beast and not a man? That I can provide I can have everything, like in Europe, like in the US, but what I have as a result, I still feel bitter. So one reveals upon the other the question of what is the meaning in life. Atop the whole good life. And in our times, this is what we discover, especially with our kids, our grandchildren. It's really revealing in practice. And that's why we're starting to reveal the exile. Exile, why exile? Because the main question of what do I live for? Because I fill my belly up, my senses, my brains, my everything. I have everything. Food, sex, family, as much as you want, please. And something awakens within this question, what is the meaning in your life that makes my life bitter? It throws me from the very top to the very bottom, and then I'm there like some kind of disgusting in my eyes. I myself, this kind of an inner emptiness, and that's called the Egyptian exile. Okay, so the exile is the slavery. It's slavery under my ego that holds me, and I don't see where we're going. So before we get to the slavery, I want to start with Ma Nishtana. What changed when we reach a special night that we sit together, and when we connect together between us, and we start discussing what do we have as a result? We start finding out that our life is worthless, that we're all in exile. Let's depict for ourselves, what does redemption mean? Redemption means that I understand what is the meaning in life, that I've rose above the life of slavery, where I constantly have to fulfill my ego, where I'm under it. Now I rise a bit above it, and I see that maybe there is a different life, that I'm free of my own nature, that it won't bury me, that I'll constantly be engaged for my 70, 80 years, fulfilling myself like the Passover fish, with stuffing me with different things. How does it bury me? That I don't want to engage in it. I want to be engaged in something which is above it. Do I have a true meaning in life? Because I live an animalistic life, just fulfilling myself. And the question of the Adam, the human part in me, awakens. What is the meaning in life? And I can ask myself, the upper force, or not the upper force, nature that does such good things all the time, with all the connections between all its different parts. How did it create so many interesting parts that we don't even understand the tip of the... We don't understand at all what's going on in life, in nature. How did it create a life which is so purposeless? Like what? Like man, anything about me, any cell, any organ is precisely interconnected with this amazing machine. And what does it exist for? Simply so. For you to eat and emit everything from the other side, everything you ate, and then you'll rot in the ground. What's the purpose? What's the use? Logically, simply speaking, when we research nature, we see that here there's some kind of a hidden component, that there is something about me that probably within the animalistic life there is some kind of a force passing through me that does something within my beast, but I'm not participating in it. I'm not connected to this force. What is it? I don't know. But probably my life also has some kind of use, some kind of purpose. And then the ancient philosophers researched, all the wise of the ancient wise researched, what is the meaning of it all, the different writers. And to this day, we don't know anything. But there has to be something. Because the question awakens specifically in our times where we have everything and it ruins our life. In the past, the question of what is the meaning in life, it was for, you know, for I don't know, for kings. That they had time to delve in it for, but today, It has to do with almost every person, even the simplest people. We reached a state where everyone asks and suppressed this question because there's no answer to it, then why just suffer? So it turns out where the question of what is the meaning in life kills us. It even aims us from within, subconsciously, to different foolishnesses. Look at the younger generation. What things they get into? What are they going to do? What are they going to try in life? What do they think about themselves? What are they doing? Things that are useless, only from this inner edginess, this inner search, because they don't know where, what, and how. Everything stems from this question. Does the Haggadah give a solution? Yes. It says that this night is special, that on this night we found the solution and we sit now as free people. We're no longer under the slavery of our body. That truly kills us, but we're free, where I raise myself above my body and sit as the boss on my matter, on my ego. Okay, so you recommended about what changed this life, which is start discussing what changed in life. So I don't exactly understand. No. I don't recommend. Besides, we have to understand that the night is after all the discussions, but they won't be present, the guests, at all the discussions. So I don't recommend to do it this way. She asked me, what is the meaning of the Haggadah? When I'm sitting on the Seder and I read, what changed? What thought should cross my mind? What would you like me to feel in the most simplest manner? For all these 30 people sitting at the table, what thought should cross their minds? Internally, what I talked about is kind of hard for them. It wasn't hard, but now we reached the question of what does that mean. They want to eat. They want to do it quickly. And we already talked about, for 20 minutes, about one question. If you explain to me the meaning about what changed this life, I'll eat with you or without you. It won't run away. But to understand, as we said on the beginning of our talk, today we read it and we don't understand anything. So what should we understand? We should understand that our nature is egoistic, that this nature is bearing us. And if we want to be free, we have to transcend it. And now we have to aim ourselves at changing ourselves, to govern ourselves into a different state. That not that I, each and every moment, will discover myself being in different good or bad states, but to begin with, I'll be able to introduce myself into these states that I plan, where I plan my life. I'm boss over them. So much that each and every moment in life, I am following the plan that I've decided about. I decided for myself? Yes. And I know what will happen to me in a moment. How will I look and how will the world look, because one can't be without the other. I will determine this. That's truly called to be free. So you're actually saying, when I'm instead of the Creator, if there exists a higher force, I don't know who's next to you at the table, completely secular people. Okay, so there is the matter of the upper force, because it's not us who guide and aim ourselves in life each and every moment. So we want to be above faith, above destiny. I don't just want to be above my own faith that I'll determine now the life that I'm living now in this world, but I'd like to know, what am I aiming them at? Not the 60, 70 years that I live here. That I'll somehow live through them one way or another. But if there is something above it, because otherwise all the animalistic life, it's useless. Let's eat and that's that. So you're talking about a question that introduces me into a higher level of reality that I want to reach? Yes, because only then I will be free, because the Passover Agadah talks about how do we come out from enslavement into freedom. How do we reach from exile into redemption? Yes, and redemption can only happen above this life. So why does it say that the one asking the question is the small child? Because we want to learn how to do something with life. That's why we're called kids. And those that are sitting next to you at the table, they're all old or even dead, because they don't want anything from life. It's not good to tell them that, because they'll go, right? I'll try to sum it all up. We started our discussion with from the phrase that where it says, and you should tell to your child, and so you said, doesn't matter, children or not, we have to tell everyone the simple story, which says that a person here and now has the possibility to program his life to be boss over his life, and not that blind faith will arrange things for him, but he starts taking the wheel of his life into his own hands, the steering wheel. That's it? Yes, but he already scrutinizes the purpose, the goal, where to go, what should one reach, how to change, meaning all the components of life. Meaning the Passover Agadah, it brings a person, first of all, to the attainment of what is this life? To what extent are they limited and fit a cemetery? And how can we make a resurrection here and come out from this state into a state where you transcend your nature, your current nature, and you reach the degree of perfection, freedom. Freedom from what? From the angel of death, it's called. Which means what? The angel of death, that I transcend death, that I won't die anymore, that I'll be able to live an eternal life. Yes. What is an eternal life? I don't know. Imagine. What is it? That a person doesn't die? Yeah? I don't know anyone that doesn't die. Eventually everyone dies. That's not the Adam. You're talking about the bodies. I discover within myself another level called the inner part of me, the inner Adam, the human part in me, and I disconnect that part from my body. And when it is disconnected from my body, it can reach a state where it will not feel death. I don't exactly get it. This is what we should talk about at the table? No, then let's. We want to really be focused on what should we talk about with the people on the Passover meal. You talked about life beyond death. Friends, Let's restart. We have 2 minutes left. Okay, so let's sum up that I took you to something high, that if we have a week of the Passover holiday, then we can sit for a week. Maybe in Yemen, we did it for a week. Today, 2 hours, and that's that. And then we can scrutinize things, like you go out for a week of a vacation. So let's let these things be. Those that want to know all these things, they really want to reach freedom, attainment of an eternal life. They have to come to the wisdom of Kabbalah and study by us how to do it. And really, it's possible, as it says, you shall see your world in your lifetime, that you can attain the upper fours, so-called godliness. For everyone, it's open, it's possible, only we need the desire for it. So whoever wants it will come and will try. So to think about how to have this seder, how much time is dedicated for the story of the Passover before you start eating. It's short, everyone reads a passage, but there is a real true desire to understand what you're reading. That's the thing, that we feel that we're reading and wasting time. If we would understand what are we reading, then the feeling would have been different. That's what it is. It seems to us ancient, irrelevant. Okay, let's finish. And so let's finish this talk and have another talk. Whoever wants it in this way, like I've talked about it right now, has to come for a week. And if not, then we'll continue next time, God's help, and we'll try to give it for her typical family. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Yael. We invite you for our next talk. Till next time, all the best.